Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We, of course, broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I want to thank them for their contribution. Thanks to Evan Thomas. He gets us up and running and motivated and twitching every morning, and really thanks to everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Monday, September 23rd.
Yes, and thanks to our executive producer. He is Mr. Dustin William Rhodes.
Spelling fought for the win. Got it. Upset complete. First win over a ranked team since 2008.
The Illini, big win.
Good for them.
Congratulations to them. Watch that game.
Boy, they're off to a good start.
Oh, that was the Huskies losing?
No.
Oh, I thought we did the Illini.
Why don't we
do the Illini? Thank you, Brandon Fryer, for your help.
Play fake for the corner. Oh. It's Bryant. It's touchdown. Barry Lunny's play calling tonight, Devin, has been extraordinary. And Altmaier has executed to perfection. Assistant coach. Now it's the ball game. Blitz right up the gut. Rayola's down. Illinois pulls it off. A huge upset. Dylan Rosiak, the Mike linebacker, shoots through to make the stop.
Overtime victory.
Let's recap. Northern Illinois loses to Buffalo.
Yes.
And Illinois beats Nebraska.
That was Illinois.
Yeah,
I think that was Illinois, not Illinois. Okay. Different team.
Well, Illinois beat Nebraska.
Are you encouraged by that, or...
I'm definitely encouraged by Illinois.
We got the great Mark Rohde. It's Mark Rohde. He's great.
Thank you.
And he's here with Dan Bernstein. It's Dan.
She's pissed off.
Ooh.
Rohde time starts early. Love
it. What's happening?
You are the busiest man in radio.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Indianapolis yesterday.
Love your work ethic.
Yeah, well, thanks, man.
I respect it.
I appreciate that. What, by the way, where were you yesterday? Where were you, young man? I thought for sure. I went to Indianapolis yesterday for the game, obviously. Get up in the press box, and I check out where we're situated.
You were attacked by some bully reporters.
There was a six-pack of Bears reporters
that were harassing me
during the pregame. But I get to my spot. I'm next to Chris Emma, some of the guys from Marquee, and right next to me is supposed to be David Haw.
Yeah, they have a seat for me.
The David Haw press box is what I wrote down. I literally did. I was like, oh, this is going to be funny. David's going to love this.
I love that building. But
yes. Well, we missed you yesterday, man. Sorry, we missed you, and the Bears missed you, and you were missed in the locker room, too, because you would have had some good Haw questions.
He's an Indiana boy.
And I was going to say, we know you're not like avoiding a warrant for your arrest because you're there enough. They can find you.
No doubt about that. I love Indianapolis. I do. My brother lives down there, and my son went to college there. But long day for the Bears. I wish I would have been there, actually, post-game, because Matt Eberflus, I don't know how he would came out of that game as positive as he sounded post-game. Weren't you surprised being there that he took that approach?
I wasn't surprised, I don't think, because he's been trained in that coaching cliche way of, especially after games and especially after losses, or even when we know bad things have happened, even if it's a win, he just has that sort of machine-like thing going on where it's always going to be positive. We're going to get it together. I don't think at this point, I don't think he feels like he has the, this is bad. I don't think he feels like he has the cachet to be like other coaches and be and just get angry.
They screwed this up. If you have an NFL head coach that doesn't have enough small p political internal capital to spend in that regard, if that's really true,
if he's afraid the team will turn on him if he turns on them. Is that what you're saying?
That's what it sounds like.
There's been enough moments in the 10 game losing streak. I mean, there's been enough moments in the Matt Eberflus tenure where he probably should have at some point in time been a little more pointed. Doesn't have to call out individuals, but to be a little bit more stern in that's not good enough. Be a little genuine anger, as opposed to I have to think about what I'm going to say.
Sad
in this
but
press
true.
Conference.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. I want to ask you this though, and maybe I'm sure you guys will talk about this. The tone that he set at his during his post-game press conference, what was the tone like in the locker room? Were players also like, well, we're going to take positives out of this, or were they like ticked off because they lost a game they really should have won and are going to regret that come January?
I mean, honestly, the players were pretty pissed in that locker room. They were like, and we're going to do some of this later. We're going to go around the locker room, some of the stuff that I got from the Bears locker room.
Yeah, stuff you haven't heard yet that Grody harvested himself.
Why the hell doesn't he supply it to all?
I sent it to everybody. It was there for you. It was there for you. You guys could have used all of it if you had wanted to. But since you didn't, it's all for me.
Or maybe they did. I don't know exactly what's been used or what hasn't.
I'm going after it.
Yeah.
Now we'll find out how you're supposed to behave after a loss.
But to your point, I will give a little bit of it away. I'll paraphrase sort of what the theme was.
It's a tease.
Starting with Cole Kmet and then going over to DJ Moore and then talking to Kevin Byard. All of these guys, the theme was, it's got to be better. Like, don't know what's going on. Don't know the identity of this team. Cole Kmet was about as pointed as I've ever heard him after a game. And he can be pointed sometimes, but it was some pretty, it felt a little bit more real in the locker
room. Wasn't very pointed blocking on the pass play.
Oh!
I just, when you juxtapose what the Colts did.
Well, we're juxtaposing already at 9:57.
Oh, maybe we'll contrapose and appose.
Oh, man.
Don't worry. We can do all kinds of posing, the posers that we are. But when they needed that first down to seal it, they knew that there's Quentin Nelson, right? And they pull him around, and they run right up his giant, powerful behind, and they get what they need because they knew they could. And I'm still trying to see what's your pet play? Where are you comfortable saying, all right, we can line up against any NFL team and nobody's going to stop this? They don't have a single play. They just spin the wheel.
Maybe they thought a pitch to DeAndre Swift was their bread and butter. Yeah. Maybe that's what they thought.
Well, you know what, Dan? That is an excellent point, though. Oh, I mean, that's an excellent point.
They also have the best running back on the field, right?
Well, yeah, but it's a running back. But the difference between the best running back and the worst running back.
See, Molly,
yeah, but anybody's real good when you're running behind Quentin Nelson.
That's the thing. If the Bears had one of those, or maybe even the right side of the line, and we had that kind of confidence, they would feel
totally
like they knew one thing about their offense. They could get you the tough yard.
Yeah.
They could have
no matter who they're handing off to.
They would have scored from the 1 yard line.
But that's what I thought Tevin Jenkins should be now.
He could be now.
But he's not. He falls
him on the right side next
much.
To Darnell Wright, and you have something that you could feel good about your offense.
In all seriousness, isn't it symbolic that in 2018 the Bears drafted Roquan Smith? Couldn't they have drafted Quentin Nelson? I'd have to go back and look.
Quentin Nelson went before Roquan.
He did go before Roquan? Okay, then forget the whole thing. Because I was going to say that'd be symbolic.
You can still blame Ryan Pace for this one.
But on the overall, I know you guys got to go and we got to get on with our show, but Bears general managers and Bears teams have always been good at building defenses, just not offenses, and it feels like we're there again.
That's a great point, Grody, but why do you want to keep us from our lives?
Can't we have our lives?
Well, I want you guys to have
our lives, Grody.
Why are you limiting our lives?
I would like you guys to... Hell, you know what? It's official. You guys are staying until 2 o'clock today.
Oh, is that part of your plan?
Yeah.
What about our lives?
Is that the new show?
That's it.
You don't have lives. Who are you kidding?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, guys. We've got a full thing for you. We're going to get to it next.
Yep. Bears.
Have a good show.